All That's Worth Saying's Question Time Review. Question Time. The 20th of November, 2025. The panel. Stephen Kinnock, Labour. Joe Robertson, Conservative. Josh Barbinde, Lib Dem. Joe Lyons, Comedian. Ella Whelan, Journalist. The venue, Loughborough. There is a routine to such things. Question Time guests are revealed on Wednesday tea time, both on the QT webpage and on X. I play football that evening, so mull over them in the subsequent revealing overnight somnolence, where patterns emerge and old jokes rise from the subconscious. Thursday morning is prep time. Not so this week. With Loughborough being 111 miles and 35 chilly chains from a cold November St Pancras, perhaps the bubble won't venture to the birthplace of Sebastian Coe and Engelbert Humperdinck, not his real name. Therefore, we set a new precedent, providing biography. Not of the lying fakes planted on the panel by the Omni Party, but for the lying fakes planted in the audience by the BBC. The recent QT from Shrewsbury unearthed an audience member from Handsworth, 60 miles away, parachuted in to challenge Robert Jenrick's Birmingham is racially segregated observation at the top of a programme broadcast as the rest of the world was discussing a new ceasefire in Gaza. Nigel Farage often complains of Question Time audiences, specifically during the 2024 election campaign, where he alleged the audience was rigged with a prominent pro-Palestine activist and even a BBC TV director. But perhaps the gold standard of fakery, close to a rear admiral with the wrong medals making a speech at Remembrance Sunday, belongs to a 2020 edition featuring Lawrence Fox. During it, the redoubtable Mr. Fox was called a stereotypical privileged white male in stereotypical abuse hurled by a harpy in the audience. The ensuing shouting match melted down Twitter and made the next day's newspapers. The issue was the Duchess of Sussex, Meghan Markle, who at the time still enjoyed some sympathy this side of the pond, with her supporters liberally using the race card against her detractors. In the next day's papers, the lady in the audience was revealed to be a Miss Rachel Boyle, purportedly a researcher at Edgehill University. In the way in which all things are connected by coincidence, many years ago I played football at Edgehill. At the end of the game, we set off to pay our respects, assuming there'd be a plaque commemorating the bombing of the college in 1940. This saw 166 killed in what Churchill described at the time as one of the worst civilian bombings of the war. However, we were at the wrong Edgehill. Although the present Edgehill takes its name from the former Women's Teacher Training College, it is now at Ormskirk, not wedged between central Liverpool's Kensington and Wavertree districts. Having moved from the city centre and taken the name with it before the war, the bombing was at the old college buildings, 17 miles from Ormskirk. Therefore, Mrs. Boyle would ordinarily be located 17 miles away from that Thursday's venue, perhaps towards the outer orbit of what's supposed to be a local audience. Or was she elsewhere? We read that in 2020, Rachel was an academic at the Carnegie School of Education in Leeds, 72 miles away, pushing it a bit, even for QT. Again, all is connected by coincidence. When this humble reviewer of panel shows was supposed to be on, I was left sobbing at the altar at the last minute by a heartless Dimbleby as I lived 70 miles from Hartlepool, albeit 70 miles in an unlikely straight line given the intervening mountains. Might a photo featuring Ms. Boyle, used for her Twitter header at the time, shed light on the issue? The background didn't look like Ormskirk. Might it be the posh half of distant Leeds? According to the temp, Rachel stood before classic houseman-style buildings, ornate blue doors and a street scene typical not of Holgate or Hare Hills, but of central Paris. The specific location appears to be near the Place Vendôme or Rue de la Paix area. The blue door with brass lion head knockers and the overall style are very characteristic of luxury buildings close to the rich hotel. Ooh! However, before we get overexcited about allocating posh Miss Boyle to a particular place at a particular time, we must consider the following. When confronted by a photo of my own considerable debatable lands pile, the temp located me to a housing estate down south in Macclesfield. Not only that, in an unnecessary slight against the detached classes, she described my abode as a semi-cheeky tart. Having said that, I wish I was paying the bills of a would-be doppelganger semi-detached former council house in Cheshire. A Daily Mail follow-up to the original commotion announced Ms. Boyle to be a university lecturer rather than a researcher and, in a further twist of bemedalled and sword of honour carrying fakery, to be a former contributor to BBC Breakfast's newspaper review. Therefore, the Walt Hunters Club mitiometer begins to point towards Leeds, a full 5,120 chains from Liverpool Lime Street. Further research shows that Miss Boyle claims to be of mixed race. A Windward Islands Boyle, she says she comes from one of the oldest black families in Liverpool, with her great-great-grandfather being a Barbadian. The problem is, rather like her ally, Miss Markle, she doesn't look black. Therefore, Rachel allocates the victimhood to her mixed-race parents who, in the 1970s, suffered lots of microaggressions. Incidents in isolation that form a pattern. A situation perhaps better described as not suffering at all. Rachel boasts of failing her A-levels while simultaneously being a former primary school teacher. Not only that, a former primary school teacher who spent many happy years teaching the children of Highton, Liverpool, before making the move into higher education in 2010. Given she was 41 at the time of her QT appearance, had no A-levels at 18, and would need 2 years of A-levels and a 3-year teaching course, might one suggest she had understandably few happy years, avec les jeunes de Highton. Since that sliding doors fateful moment, Mr. Fox has had his ups and downs. Sacked by GB News for misogynistic comments, an order to pay £180,000 for calling two innocent paedophiles, he's presently before the law for sharing a photo depicting the vista from the pavement while looking heavenwards towards the contents of the skirt being worn by a Miss Naranda Kaur. Strange times. Miss Boyle, however, has continued a particular type of stratospheric academic pathway, now head of interdisciplinary studies in the Carnegie School of Education, Leeds Beckett University. Rachel's passion and research focuses on race, racism, ethnicity, and education. The first woman of colour to be appointed as dean at the university, she uses critical race theory as a theoretical framework to examine race, inequalities in society, specifically in education. One of her more recent social media posts promises puffins that for a mere £125 a head, Rachel can arrange a 2-hour interactive session to tell you how inclusive your recruitment process is and help you to look inward to ensure you create a truly diverse and welcoming environment. Strange times indeed. Question one was about Home Secretary Shabana Mahmood's new illegal immigration rules, some of which Fiona read out in order to give the impression that something was being done about the contentious issue. Stephen Kinnock, Labour, wants a cohesive society based upon fairness and secure borders. There are pushes and pulls. Mahmood's policies address the pull. This is all Farage's fault and Brexit. The small boats didn't exist before we left the EU. What about the lorries that predated them, wondered LaBruce. Stephen mentioned the Dublin Convention, under which, he forgot to say, hardly anybody was ever sent back, and under which other European Union countries could send their illegals here. Joe Robertson, Conservative, said his side of the Uniparty would support Kinnock's side of the Uniparty in Parliament. However, few countries seem to be involved in the return of those who are already here. He mentioned Mahmood's home country of Pakistan. 100,000 Pakistanis claimed asylum last year, but only 100 of them came on small boats. Josh Barbardine, Lib Dem, ranted about vulnerable people and, despite not looking very native, the British thing to do. The government are aping reform. Joe wanted to think outside the box. As unemployment rises, he wanted the illegal immigrants to take your job off you. This is, apparently, smart and compassionate. The loons clapped. One of them even hooped. He quoted all kinds of studies from academia, no doubt authored by the likes of Dean Rachel Boyle. Thing is, Joe, the illegals are already allowed to steal our jobs after they've been claiming asylum for a year. Joe Lyons, comedian, riffed about brain surgeons and rocket scientists. Presumably, this was humour. There's a problem with them and us. We put them in with the other thems, who aren't part of a London media lovey bubble, and who struggle to make ends meet, and then blame the brain surgeons and rocket scientists. Much mention was made both by the panel and the audience of rhetoric, as if, one suspects, Shabana Mahmood and the London elite don't really mean it. An audience member thought the rhetoric to tackle Farage's rhetoric would be counterproductive, and the reform supremo would move on to another divisive issue, leaving refugees' rights diminished for nothing. When asked, only two in the audience supported what the Home Secretary has done this week, but whether they thought it too little or too much can't be told from a hands up. It won't stop the votes, said Ella, journalist. The civil servants, lawyers, judges and ECHR will kibosh. If we hadn't left the European Union, we wouldn't even be able to do what Mahmood claims to intend. The audience was determined to make contributions based on the far-right weaponising of language rather than on facts, which allowed Kinnock to play the race card. Runcorn Reform MP Sarah Putchin complained about the over-representation of coloured people in adverts. Nigel Farage had not condemned her, but Keir Starmer had called it out for what it is, racism. Stephen went on to say that dark forces, bit racist, were gathering at the gates and that Labour would never ape. Bit racist, reform. Joe reminded Stephen that because of divisions within the Labour Party, they might have to rely on the Tories in the House of Commons. Then he exploded a megaton truth bomb. Did I say all is coincidence? What I really meant was, no it isn't. All is part of a giant plan. Joe explained that Andy Burnham was supposed to be on tonight's programme, but was replaced by Kinnock at the last minute. Hence the late announcement of the guests. The overrepresentation of the tinged explains the high-profile presence of Ms. Boyle. As for the playing of football at Edge Hill in the great scheme of things, it will come to me in somnolence. Best go to bed.